Well, we all know that things are still rolling, right? We all know that darkness is still covering the earth. And we know that we need to be praying about our government and what's going on all over the world. Don't ever think that it won't come on Americans. Can you hear me? Teresa? Am I on? Oh, it doesn't sound like I'm on to me, but is it all right? Okay. We always think, you know, this all stuff is going on overseas, and we think it's never come on American soil, but we really need to pray and keep American soil covered, you know, so that it doesn't come to us, but also keep covered what's going on. Father, I thank you and I praise you this morning, and we just thank you, Father God, that you are who you are and that we are your children. We thank you, Father God, that without you we're absolutely nothing. And we need to take your hand more secure today than ever before and walk with you, Father. We trust you. We know that you will lead, guide, and direct us in all the ways that you would have us to go. And right now, God, I'm asking the Holy Spirit be in here in a mighty way. Touch us, rearrange us, Father. Take us to deeper depths, higher heights. And Father God, let your glory fall. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the problem is all mine. I'm sorry, I forgot to adjust my microphone. You know, God's going to talk about wisdom this morning. And how many of you know we need wisdom now more than we ever have? You know, it just seems like, you know, things are getting harder and harder to deal with. It's coming into the atmosphere. And I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, well, the atmosphere is flooded with the darkness. And they got real quiet because they don't really believe in that, but they're Christians. They're really good people. But we know that the atmosphere is filled with darkness. And we know that we need to break through that atmosphere of heaviness so we can go on up into the third heaven and we can sit with our Father in heavenly places and he will take us to wherever we need to go in him. Amen. Let's start with this little service teaching here this morning. I forgot to put down the verse for this, I'm sorry. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, period. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, when God told me he wanted to talk about wisdom, I started praying, and you know, and he just showed me that the body of Christ as a whole, that we really don't have the wisdom from above. We have our own natural carnal wisdom. And we really need to, I don't want to get into what he says, but I want to emphasize right now, listen to what he's saying. Because without wisdom, we're not going to make it. Wisdom from above. All right. And James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it would be given him. But let him ask in faith. Now see, this, you can ask God for wisdom. But then look what James says. But let him ask in faith. With no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. See, we can ask for wisdom, but we have to ask in faith, knowing that when we ask, God is going to supply. You can pray and ask God for anything all day long, but if you don't have the faith connected with it, it's not going to work. And I think that really and truly that's where the body of Christ fails, don't you? that we ask God a lot of things, but it's never in faith. And sometimes we ask and sit back and say, well, let's just see what he does with this. And that's the wrong attitude. And Job 28:28, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Fearing God is wisdom. All right. Then turn away from evil is understanding. And that's also in Psalm 111, verse 10. Now, this is God speaking. I have spoken to you about wisdom before, but I need to speak to you about it again, because many in my body are not walking in wisdom. They are walking in fear and frustration. They are walking on a path that is taking them nowhere. You do not understand that what men call wisdom is actually foolishness. Look around about you. Is what you see wisdom? No. It is the foolish things of the world that you are witnessing, right? We know it's right because it's God speaking. God goes on to say, I am going to stand in the congregation and I am going to proclaim the truth of my word. And that truth will annihilate the lie. You will see my mighty angels working hard to dismantle the foolishness of the world. I thought it was neat. He said the angels were going to dismantle this. When that happens, the world will change and the atmosphere over you will reflect my glory, which carries wisdom from above. Which carries wisdom from above. Before man and all his foolishness can in no wise compare to the wisdom that comes from on high. Now, how many of you know people who think they're full of wisdom? You know, I've listened to a pastor years ago, and he would give all these wisdom, little wisdom things. But did he have wisdom himself? Because he was given all these little tidbits about wisdom, but he was also asking for money because he was giving you that little tidbit of wisdom. Everything God gives us is free, and we should not be charging for little tidbits of wisdom. And, you know, if you don't want to pay, then you need to seek God's face for yourself and let him give you little tidbits of wisdom. And I really think that each one of us every day, it gets louder and louder, right? Can we get it quieter and quieter a little bit? Thank you. Where am I at? Okay, God said, I say, test the spirits and you take them at face value. I say, watch the fruit and you ignore the fruit. You see, you are not yet perfected in the wisdom from above. You are still grasping at the straws of foolishness, and these straws are leading you further from the truth of my word. So God said there, I say, test the spirits and you take them at face value. I say, watch the fruit, and you ignore the fruit. Now, how many, as you're sitting there, can say, yeah, I'm guilty of that every now and then. Maybe not 100%, but you're guilty of that every now and then. But we can't be guilty about it at all. I'm just hearing God say, we are at such a perilous time that we could slip at any given second if we're not listening to his voice of wisdom and not discerning what's going on around about us. I don't know about you, but it just seems like every day you have to constantly watch what's going on around about you. And it doesn't matter where you go, you have to be constantly on alert because the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, with this food shortage, you know, that's already started, you know, God said this was coming, but he would keep those that were his, right? So we don't need to go out there in the stores like I saw the other day, beating each other up, you know, stealing what's on the shelf. We need to seek God's wisdom and he'll tell us exactly what to do. He said he would feed us. Isn't that what he said? So we need to start trusting what God is saying and use his wisdom. It's like they're saying in the banks right now, they're not letting you get your money out. So we need to seek God, what do I do with the money I have in the bank? And then use wisdom, listen to him and then do what he's telling you to do. I know some people that are trying to get their money out of the bank and can't right now. And then one of Johnny's friends told him, you need to really start thinking about what am I going to do with the money that I have in the bank? All right. But what you do is you don't walk in fear. You seek God's face. How should I deal with this? And then use the wisdom that he gives you and do what he tells you to do. Because if you go out there and start doing things all on your own, what's going to happen? We're going to mess up. All right, God said, how was my word written? Does not my word tell you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Then why do you question it? Why do you twist it and try to make it say something it does not? Then he says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has beguiled you into believing the lie? And you see that in Galatians 3, 1 through 7. God said the acts of deception that already exist in the world are going to become stronger as the days go forth. I am in no wise going to change or lower my standards. My standards for living and making heaven your home are written in my word. You might lower your standards and walk in the worldly realm, but this will not bring you into my kingdom. You cannot lower your standards, not one bit, according to God here. My standards for living and making heaven your home are written in my word. You might lower your standards and walk in the worldly realm, but this will not bring you into my kingdom. God said, my people who are called by my name must walk in holiness and righteousness. They must at all costs walk in purity of heart. Walking in the supernatural requires that you are holy as I am holy. And 1 Peter 1:16 is where you'll find that. Now, let's read that again. My people who are called by my name must walk in holiness and righteousness. How many of you are finding yourself being fought on all sides to continue to walk in holiness and righteousness? The enemy is pulling every string he can pull, isn't he? Because he does not want you to walk in holiness and righteousness, because he knows if you do, then you're going to be one of those who will tear down his kingdom. Then God says, seek wisdom from above, little ones. Seek wisdom that will cause you to walk on water when the world is sinking. I thought that was sort of neat. In other words, we're not going to sink with the world. We're going to be walking on with God. And James 3:17 says, seek wisdom from above. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So what kind of wisdom do you have? You mean it really needs to sit down and think about these things. What kind of wisdom do I really have? Is it peaceable? You know? Think about it. Because if you really think about it, you'll realize it's either God's wisdom or yours. And if it's yours, you need to change. God says, why do you suppose I have been speaking to you about seeking wisdom? It was for this day and this hour. Yes, you always need wisdom, but this hour of darkness requires my complete wisdom to walk through this maze of confusion. I mean, somebody told me the other day that, you know, the Russia's news over there is just as corrupt as American news is. They're not speaking the truth. So really, truly, if you're watching what's going on over there, is it the truth or is it a lie? You know, is that what they're saying really happening? Or is that what they just want you to believe is happening? And this is where we needed the wisdom of God to discern which is right and which is wrong. And maybe you just need to discern just to shut it off. You know, and we have enough, you know, if you really think about it, when you're sitting and listening to all that dumb news that you don't know if it's true or not, you could be spending time with God, writing your book or hearing his word, you know, instead of putting all the junk into your system. God said, the darkness has come in all its fury, and it is determined to take you out of my everlasting arms. I am the great I am, and I will never fail my children. How many just recently you just thought, oh God, are you really there? Are you really holding my hand? Do you really know what I'm going through? He does. But the enemy will pull you down, that he'll suck you into that little cycle with him if you're not watching what's going on. And this is where you need to have the wisdom of God to know that, yes, he's there, and yes, he's holding your hand. God said that this darkness is relentless, to say the least. You understand the fullness of my asking you to seek heavenly wisdom in the days ahead. You will see that your wisdom will not get you where you need to be, and your wisdom will not help you through this maze of darkness. God said, I am finished with lukewarmness from my body. I am finished with those who have heard my word but refuse to walk in its precepts. You are stumbling blocks to those around about you, and I am getting ready to remove you from your place of comfort, your place of worldliness in my houses of refuge. You think I will not remove my arm of protection? You just watch what I do. I have shown you grace after grace, and still you go on your merry way doing as you please and expecting me to bless. You have been weighed in the balance and come up wanting. And Daniel 5:22 says, before we read that, you know, God was talking about getting wisdom, and all of a sudden he changed gears there and started talking about he's tired of the house of God not walking in holiness and purity. Our Daniel 5:22 says, and you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart and mind, though you knew all this, knew it, and were defiant. You know, the church of God knows what they're supposed to be doing, but it's not doing it. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought before you, and you and your lord, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know. But the God in whose hand your breath is, and whose are all your ways, you have not honored and glorified, but have dishonored and disgraced. We've all been there at one point in our life, but we were supposed to have left that point a long time ago, right? And if the world is, and which your world is, the world is watching you and they see you vacillate between good and evil all the time, they're not going to want Jesus Christ. They're going to stay with the darkness that they already have. They don't need more darkness. They need light. And verse 24 says, then was the part of the hand sent from the presence of the Most High God, and this writing was inscribed. In other words, a hand came down and wrote something on the wall. And this is the inscription that was written. Mina, Mina, Tikal, Yerpsa, I can't say this, okay? Numbered, numbered, weighed, divisions. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mina, God has numbered the days of your kingship and brought them to an end. God has numbered a lot of people's days of following him, and they have come to an end. And right now, they're just wasting their time. Tikal, you were weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, your kingdom and your kingship are divided and given to the Medes and Persians. That was foretold in Isaiah 21:2, 5, and 9. Guys, you know, God has given us grace after grace after grace. And he said, it's time now that you quit going back in your old sin nature and you're witnessing to people. And what kind of witness are you really? God said, there are those out there that have never heard of my son Jesus and his love. They have never even heard there is a hell to be shunned, let alone a heaven to reach for. I have been long-suffering. I have been gentle when I should have been harsh. I led you by the still waters. You can find it in Psalm 23:2. And I allowed you to go your own way for a season. But now I have had enough. I have now lifted my hand of protection from those who thought like Samson that the anointing would always be there. There are a lot of people sitting in the house of God that are not fully following what God's wanting them to do. And because like Samson used to do, he sinned and he got up and shook himself and the anointing was still there. But one day it wasn't. So let's go to Judges 16:20 and read that. And she said, Delilah said to to Samson, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Do you see what the devil did to Samson? Samson was a mighty man of God, full of the anointing of God, and he could defeat anything. But because he would not give up his women, he ended up in a prison grinding meal with no eyes. What a price to pay for sin. But as you read the story, you know, since God let him get revenge on the people right before he died. But why did he have to go through all this? Why does the body of Christ have to keep going through things like this? Because sin is so much greater than God's glory. God said, "I am always there, children," and you'd see that in Matthew 28:20. "But I stepped aside so you could go about your own business, and now you're on your own." Ephesians 4:30. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." You can grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will walk away. He will not stride with you. He won't. God said, "Your mantles or giftings I have given to others, and they will complete what you started." I hope there's nobody in the sound of my voice is fits in that category. God said, "I have given your mantles," which is your giftings, "I have given to others, and they will complete what you started." In Proverbs 10:23, "Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding." And let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. God isn't late with his promise as some measure lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. But when the day of God's judgment does come, it will be unannounced, like a thief. The sky will collapse with a thunderous bang, everything disintegrating in a huge conflagration, earth and all its works exposed to the scrutiny of judgment. But I'm not even going to go there about the earth. I'm saying about the body of Christ. One day you'll feel God, and the next day you won't. It's going to be that simple. And then you're going to cry out and cry out and cry out, and God's not going to be answering. Because like he said, he gave us plenty of time to get it together. And I really and truly believe that God switched and started talking about this because many people are saying that God is right now shaking the church once again. And he told me that a while back. But God has been shaken, and now this is no more shaking. Church, it's finished. And either we belong to God or we don't. Either we're a witness for Christ or we're not. Either we're going to be in with a group that bring in the harvest or we're not. And God's not going to drop his glory on anyone that is trying to walk either in the darkness or in the light. We're met, verse 11. Since everything here today might well be gone tomorrow, do you see how essential it is to live a holy life? Daily expect the day of God, eager for its arrival. The galaxies will burn up and the elements melt down that day. But we'll hardly notice. We'll be looking the other way, ready for the promised new heavens and the promised new earth, all landscape with righteousness. So, my dear friends, since this is what you have to look forward to, do your very best to be found living at your very best in purity and in peace. Interpret our Master's patient restraint for what it is, salvation. Our good brother Paul, who was given much wisdom in these matters, refers to this in all his letters. In other words, salvation. refers this in all his letters and has written you essentially the same thing. Some things Paul writes are difficult to understand. Irresponsible people who don't know what they are talking about twist them every which way. They do it to the rest of the scriptures too, destroying themselves as they do it. But you, friends, are well warned. Be on guard lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by these lawless and loose-talking teachers. Grow in grace and understanding of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to the Master now and forever. Yes. Paul is saying, keep yourself right. Don't be going out there and doing dumb things. Follow Christ in all of his teachings. Be holy as God is holy. You know, rest assured in your heart of hearts that you're doing everything that God has called you for to do. And then stay there in that place. Don't allow the enemy to come at you and try to discourage you. Don't allow him to make you believe that you're not going to make it. You know what you're doing. You really do know what you're doing. You might fool other people, but you don't fool yourself and you don't fool God. No, some people do fool themselves. They believe that they're all right and they're not. But you can't fool God, though. And God really wants us to walk in peace with him. He really wants us to seek wisdom like we've never sought wisdom before. He doesn't want us to go out there trying to preach a gospel that we're not living or that we don't even know. You know, in our testimonies, you know, everything we're going through is a testimony that we can go out there and give. And as we give that testimony, then we let them see what a great God that we serve. And that God that gave you that testimony will give them a testimony. You know, he'll clean them up and give them a testimony. I can't understand why we vacillate between good and evil. I really can't. But I do understand right now it is really super hard to serve God. In other words, it's hard to walk the love walk. It's hard to stay in peace. You know, it's really even hard sometimes, even when God gives us wisdom, to even work it out the way he tells us, walk it out the way he tells us to. It's hard. It's not easy anymore. Us older ones in here, we know how easy it used to be just to go to church and just have a good time. You know, and all week was just wonderful and peaceful. It's not like that anymore. It's darkness all around, all the time, and that darkness is trying to take us out. And God said here he wants to give us wisdom, so that doesn't happen. And I'm hearing saying, God said, your heart's going to be broken over and over again. Your heart's going to be yanked out of your chest, but you can't leave God. He says, I'm going to stay with you, and I want you to stay with me. People are cruel. They just are. I don't know why they're more cruel now than they were years ago, but I know it's because of the evil in the world. But they're cruel. And people are takers and not givers. And so, you know, we have to learn to just go ahead and go with the flow with the takers. And, you know, I've been going through some things here last month, and every time I do, God says, the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. You know, every time I think about something, you know, he tells me that. So, but this is the truth, right? You know, he blesses the good and the bad. And, you know, he tells us to let the bad alone because he will do the separating and the dividing. But we in our, I don't know what, I guess our own wisdom, we try to separate the good and the bad, and it doesn't work. That's God's job. And he does it at the right timing. And he does it so only the bad, you know, will feel the results of bad and the good won't be hurt. So, you know, if you're in a situation where it looks like bad is, you know, winning out, they're really not. They're really not. It just looks that way. And why does it look like that? The enemy's making it look like that. The enemy's making it look like you are the fool. But we can't look at that either. We have to just keep on going with God. And I'm not saying that because of anything I'm going through. I'm just saying that because that's what God's been teaching me. Daughter, doesn't matter what you see around about you. It's not what you really, it is not what you see. Because I'm working in this and I'm working behind the scenes. And I'm working everything out the way it needs to be worked out. But see, us and our earthly wisdom can't understand that. But God, this is what I see, you know? But it really isn't. It isn't the way you see it. And God's saying you need to block the enemy from your mind so he won't keep telling your mind and bombarding your mind that what you see is the truth. And until you block him, you know, and let him know you're not going to fall for his lies, he's going to keep harassing you. And he's going to keep telling you, yeah, it's exactly the way you see it. All right. Wisdom from on high is what we're searching for. We only find that as we sit in the presence of God and talk to him. Allow us to talk back to you. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is where I'm at. I'm in a state where I sit in the presence of God and talk to him. He doesn't answer. You know, he's being really super quiet. Yeah, and I'm saying, God, I really need to hear this now. And he doesn't answer. So what is that telling me? I don't really need to hear that right now. I just need to keep trusting God, right? Isn't that what that's telling me? Because our God will never let us, you know, be overtaken. And he won't ever allow us just to sit there and the enemy surprise us. He will let us know exactly what we need to know, when we need to know it. And see, that's another thing. We think we need to know it now. You might not need to know until next week. But we're trying to get God to tell us right now, and he's just not going to do it. And I just heard him say, if I told you when you wanted it to hear it, you'd spoil the surprise I have for you. Amen. So God's saying, how difficult is your walk right now? He's saying, if it's really difficult, then you don't have my wisdom. You don't know, you haven't heard how I want you to walk this situation out. So there you go. If things are difficult, it's because you haven't asked God for wisdom. But then, you might have asked God for wisdom, and he's just not talking right now, too. So then we have to stand in faith. All right? We need faith like we've never needed faith before. I mean, I just never thought. How many of you ever thought you would see the world in the situation it's in right now? Never. Never in your wildest dreams would you ever think what's going on would be going on. But it's here. We have to deal with it through Christ. And while we're dealing with what's going on, we have to make sure we're also dealing with our relationship with God. How many sometimes just feel so alone? Like, God, where are you at? And God said to me the other day, well, where are you at? You're not walking in faith the way I want you to. See, God will always put the blame back on you. Because he wants you to stop and think, what am I really doing? And God said, if you want to know why you're not being blessed, be honest with yourself when you check your life out, and you'll come to me and repent, then the blessings are going to start flowing. In other words, where have you gone off course with God, with what God's told you to do? You need to think about all this. The other day I was asking God about something. God said, are you sure that you're doing everything I told you to do? And I said, I don't know. He said, you're not. Said I had to stop, seek his face, find out where I'd gone off course, and get back on course again. I think that's why we should write everything down. So we know what God tells us at all times. So we have to go back and double check, you know. Have to do your test all over again because you failed it the first time around. God's saying that some of you have very unique giftings in here. And you who have very unique giftings are going to be tested more than others. And it's going to be time you're just going to think you can't take another test. But he says, yes, you can. I'll give you what you have need of to go through it. He's saying that each test that comes in your life has a very serious purpose to it. And he said, with the test, he's teaching his people how to really fight It's just not to sit and get some, let somebody else do your fighting for you. And I don't care who we are, we each need to fight our own fight, right? I mean, God's trying to perfect something in you, and if he allows somebody else to fight your battle, you're never going to get perfected. You're never going to receive what God has for you. You know, like we want somebody else to pray for us, and because we just don't know how to pray. If I was you, I'd just sit and say, God, here I am. You know, and this is what my question today, this is where I'm at. Where are you at? We don't need all these here typed up prayers to pray. They don't come from your heart. No, I don't. If you do that, that's fine. But they don't really come from your heart. It's what somebody else has typed up and told you to pray. God wants a sincere, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. He wants the sincerity of your heart when you come to his prayer room. He wants to know what you're feeling. And he wants to see what kind of wisdom you have about what you're praying about. You'll never see a written prayer thing passed out here because we just don't do that. Because how can you be intimate with God if you're sitting there reading what somebody else told you to pray? That's not intimacy. It has to come from your heart, right? I'm sort of hearing my spirit, well, some people don't know how to pray. That is true. They don't. But say, just sit down and talk to God like you would a friend. And they'll soon learn how to pray for themselves. And they'll learn how to talk to God and listen for God to talk to them. You know, I'm teaching my little boys to listen for the voice of God. And the other day, last night, Isaiah came and said, God hears my prayers. I said, he does, sweetie. That's wonderful. He said, yeah, because I said to him, I said, let me get a 10 on my game if you're listening. And he got a 10 on his game. But at least, you know, he's trying. He's just trying to listen. Even he's trying, and he said, you told me to talk to God, and he'd help me win my game. I did tell him that. He gets frustrated, you know. And so I didn't give him a piece of paper and say, read this. So come on, guys. We have a work to do before us. God's taken us through the course. I'm hearing him say we might not like the course, but he took us through the course. And we come out shining. You know, we pass the course. And now he's getting ready. Believe it or not, you'd be surprised how soon he's going to bring the glory. And when that glory hits, you're not going to be able to say, wait a minute, I've got to go back here and read page 10, you know, because it's there in you. And God is just warning us today to, no matter what's going on in our lives, seek his wisdom first and understanding. Understand what God's saying. How many of you, when you first got born again, you read the Bible and you didn't know tiddly what you read? You just read the Bible, you know. Everybody says, read the Bible through it within a year. And then somebody says, I read it 10 times within a year. But what did they know? But now God is revealing what the Bible is saying. So as you sit down to read the Bible, you're going to know and see things you never saw before. I don't care how many times you've read the Bible. Because God said, I'm bringing the truth and my word to the forefront. And I believe every one of you in here this morning are ready for God to do that in your lives. All you have to do is receive it by faith. God said it, so it has to be, so I'm going to do it. All right? I mean, even with this today, you know, it was late Saturday afternoon when he finally gave me the word, but I kept saying, God, I need something for the church. I need something for the church. And so he just said, wisdom. So I just sat down and I said, start dictating. And you, he does, you know, because that's who our God is. And when we really take time, sit down in front of him and say, God, please start speaking to me, he'll start speaking to you. And that is the truth. His word doesn't lie. So if you're trying to make a decision in your life right now, ask God for wisdom. God, tell me what to do. You just spell it out if you need to. If I'm too dumb just to hear your voice and follow it, you know? Because there's a lot of people out there that are perplexed at this given time. and they really don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. And with my own life, I've noticed that over a couple months, everybody, all of my staff has quit communicating with me. And, you know, and I said, I was crying last night to God. I said, I feel so alone. He said, you always have me. You know, so I'm saying that to say this. It doesn't matter who leaves you. You always have God. And so say you're getting all upset about it. They say, God, it's you and I. Let's just see who's talking. I'm a little bit lonely here. Right? And I know other of you in here feel the same way. You feel like all of a sudden, hey, you know, nobody's talking to me, and I'm just sitting here in the dark. I really don't know what's going on. And then just have God start speaking to you. Then take away the loneliness, but it does bring you up from that place of lowness that you were. Because I know when you feel like everybody's forsaken, you feel very low, don't you? You feel like, where do I turn? Even though we have God to turn to. I'm just being honest with you. You have to be honest with yourself. What do you really feel when nobody's talking to you? And how does it hurt you? Well, that's the way God feels. When you don't talk to God, He feels the same way you do when nobody talks to you. All right. And for the last couple of days, I just felt like God was nowhere around. And so I said this morning, I was sitting out there and I said, all right, God, now here I am. Please talk to me this morning. Say something. He didn't say nothing. So I know I'm on a faith walk right now. And what am I going to do with it? Ask yourself that. Am I on a faith walk? Is God teaching me something in this? And if He is, let me learn what it is quickly so I can move on to the next phase of my life. All right? Come on. I also know God is doing miracles. I really do. And there are little things that we don't call miracles. Okay, so this thing I have in my face, I have these over my bodies, and you know what they're doing? They're drying up and falling off. Now, this one hasn't yet, but I have them everywhere, and they are drying up and falling off. And see, I knew a couple of them fell off, but I didn't think anything of it. Then all of a sudden, more and more and more started falling off, and I said, God, this is my miracles, because I prayed, and I said, every spirit of cancer, you'll dry up and fall off my body. A little miracle, but it's a start. See, little things grow into big things. Both good and bad. So why don't you just start trusting God? Amen. Well, Father, I just thank you this morning for your wisdom. I thank you for your chastisement too. I thank you for each and every soul that's sitting in this room that got up this morning, got dressed, and got in a car and traveled just to sit in your presence. And because they did that, Father, I'm asking for a very special blessing to be dropped upon them right now. Those that are discouraged here this morning, Father, and I did see some faces that are discouraged, I'm asking you right now, Father God, to drop upon them and let them feel you and let them know that you are with them and you are for them and not against them. We wait in your presence, Father God, as you do this. Thank you, Father. God's telling me He wants you to come to those that want to come to the altar this morning, because He has a greater realm of His glory that He wants to drop upon you. And I can just see it. It's just like a light, and it has little silver specks in it, and it's just going right through our being. And God said, each time I do this, little ones, the glory is growing stronger and stronger inside of you, and it's going to soon burst out of you, and it is going to touch the world around about you, and whoever it touches will be changed. So that's the altar call. God wants to give you a deeper touch of the glory.